Welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that provides you with content related to the queer community. I'm your host, Sean Kenny, and tonight we're going to the rodeo. Last month, Shane Carmichael joined us on Outsources to talk about his involvement with the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association, the organization that puts on the yearly Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo. This July marked the 34th Gay Rodeo that the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association has put on in the state. We went to the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Golden, Colorado, to hear the many voices that are part of this event, from organizers, volunteers, and vendors, to attendees and contestants. So stick around for the next half hour, as Outsources explores the tradition and continued importance of gay rodeo in Colorado. So what is a gay rodeo, and how might it differ from other rodeos? Well, there are many similarities. At the beginning of the event, you can expect the grand entry, with the singing of the national anthem and a presentation of the state and national flags.
Fantastic. Here we come in the arena, carrying the U.S. flag, Mr. John Beck. Carrying the Canadian flag, Robin Cable. And carrying the flag of Colorado, Gia Diamante.
Each day also begins with a benediction.
God, creator of all, once again, we are blessed with the opportunity to approach thee with gratitude that we are surrounded by our family and friends in this beautiful location in Golden to celebrate the sport of rodeo that we love.
And many of the rodeo events are similar, whether that be steer riding, pole bending, breakaway roping, and barrel racing. But there are some events that you may not see elsewhere, like wild drag racing and goat dressing.
Pretty simple event. Run right out there, throw a pair of tiny bunnies on the goat, run it back forward time, first one wins. Panties have to stay on the goat.
As I walked through the stands on that very hot, cloudless July day, I came across one of the people who perhaps knew the most about the Rocky Mountain Gay Rodeo, the man honored with the title of Grand Marshal that year.
My name is Chris Hockmuth. I've been with CGRA for, 25, 30 years. Served on their board of directors for about 20 of them, volunteered for lots and lots of them, and announced rodeo around the IGRA rodeo circuit for about 10 years.
Chris is clearly no stranger to this rodeo, and he's been a longtime supporter of both CGRA and IGRA. That's the Colorado and International Gay Rodeo Associations. Chris spoke about how he got involved with the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo, the nation's oldest gay rodeo association, which began in 1981. It started with a man he worked for while bartending at Charlie's, a gay cowboy bar in Denver.
Through Wayne Giacchino at Charlie's. I had gone to work for Wayne at Charlie's, and it was just a thing. When you work into Charlie's, you were a member of CGRA, because the two were hand in hand. It was really hard to separate the two back in the 80s.
Charlie's, which is a gay bar in Denver, served as a sponsor and a meeting place and a really big supporter of the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo, and still is a big supporter.
It's true, it was a huge supporter. Wayne Giacchino, who was the owner of Charlie's here in Denver, was the founding, he's the grandfather of gay rodeo. He founded gay rodeo here and helped found the International Gay Rodeo Circuit, so yeah.
Over the blare of the rodeo announcer, we continued to talk about how much has changed and stayed the same since CGRA started in the 80s.
There's a lot that's different and there's a lot that's not. The rodeo itself really hasn't changed all that much. We have many, many of the same events. It's a lot of the same cowboys and girls, you know, who are here competing because they just have this incredible passion for it, and their horses and their animals just in general. Back in the day, back in the 80s, you know, we met in one of the few facilities that would even entertain having a gay rodeo, which is the Coal Creek Arena way out in Aurora, 6th Avenue and Kansas. It was just a little dirt crap arena that we had to do everything to. We had to ship in grandstands, and we had to ship in porta potties, and we had to ship in, you know, tents for food and beer, and you know, we had to bring it all there to produce a rodeo, and it was very, very labor intensive. But it was a lot of fun. That just made it, you know, that much more worth the effort.
After years of successfully having the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo in the Coal Creek Arena in Aurora, the National Western Complex in Denver, by comparison a huge facility that holds the stock show each year, invited CGRA to hold their rodeo there. But after a few years, they realized that the complex was missing something that the Coal Creek Arena had.
Cowboys like to run around without their shirts on, and you can't do that indoors, and you know, you can't get tan, and you can't enjoy the eye candy as much. So we ended up moving back to Aurora because they liked it better. And then pretty soon Jefferson County sort of said, well, you know, maybe. And we did our first rodeo here, and they weren't sure we knew what we were doing, and they found out very quickly we knew exactly what we were doing. Up until CGRA and the Rocky Mountain Regional Rodeo came here, they'd never had a full-on rodeo, including all of the events that make up a rodeo, so the roping and the rough stock and the horse events. You know, they'd never had a full rodeo. They just had bits and pieces. And so after the first one, they figured out we knew exactly what they were doing. They were very amenable to having us back. And I don't know, what are we, 12, 15 years later? It's been great.
While the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo has struggled at times over the years to find a good home, Chris also talked about the importance of this rodeo for amateur contestants and the community that's been around it year after year.
Most other rodeos, you know, that you hear of and you talk about, and you know, you hear about the Greeley Stampede or the, you know, the Cheyenne Frontier Days or the Calgary Stampede, for that matter, if you want to go way up there. Those are all professional rodeo events. Those are professional rodeo cowboys who are in it to make money. And the International Gay Rodeo Association, the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association, all those were amateur by definition. These people are not in it for the money. They're in it for the love of rodeo. They're in it because they love their animals. They're in it because they want to get together with their friends and come and have a good time. It's just the camaraderie that comes with rodeo, and the kids that rodeo on the circuit. You know, they see each other once a month at the various venues, you know, in Minneapolis or here in Denver or next in Palm Springs or in, you know, Albuquerque or, you know, wherever the rodeo takes them. And it's just a new adventure everywhere you go with your same group of friends. It's really cool.
But the regional gay rodeo in Colorado that CGRA puts on is just one aspect of the impact that the organization brings to the state. In fact, Chris was recognized as the Grand Marshal this year, not only for his dedication to rodeo, but also for giving back to the LGBTQ community, both personally and through the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association.
CGRA does a huge community outreach. If you check with CGRA, you'll find out that over their almost 35-year history, they've given back to the community in terms of fundraising and donations and whatnot, that not just rodeo-based, but just in general, upwards of millions of dollars back to the community for things like fighting AIDS or fighting breast cancer or fighting Amendment 2 back in the early 90s, and just always there to support whoever needed it, whether it was Howard Dental or the Colorado AIDS Project or the Gay and Lesbian Community Center, Gay and Lesbian Youth, the Drug Assistance Program for HIV meds. Just wherever there was a need, CGRA was trying to find a way to raise money and help them and reach out to the community, not just be rodeo.
I was able to catch Chris during a break while he was sitting in the stands, but he was often running to and from the announcer's box, at times to announce rodeo events or to be recognized as the year's Grand Marshal. Plenty of people were outside the arena, cooling off in the shade by the bar or perusing the vendors that had set up close by. I spoke with one of these shop owners, Tommy from Centennial, who was another longtime supporter of the gay rodeo circuit.
Well, first off, I'm a veteran of the gay rodeo for 30 years. And been coming out and participating up until the last few years, and now I am a vendor here at the rodeo this weekend.
I spoke to Tommy in front of his booth, which featured country western decor and rodeo shirts sporting rainbow-colored bulls.
We have an assortment of vintage and antique western collectibles and western t-shirts and shirts, western jewelry, the whole gambit here.
As someone who's been a part of the gay rodeo in Colorado since the 1980s, Tommy talked about how he got involved in the beginning and how the rodeo has changed for him over the years.
You know, I had a lot of friends that were members of the association 30-something years ago, and I had a horse, and they said, come out and ride with us. I did. fell in love with the association and the camaraderie of the guys and gals, and been a part of it ever since.
And so you mentioned that you competed. What is it like competing in the gay rodeo? And did you compete in other rodeos as well and get a sense of what that was like compared?
No, the only rodeos I've ever competed in were the gay-oriented rodeos back from that period. And what kept me interested was just the enjoying the people and the excitement. I love playing in the dirt, and the feeling is just of competition is the same in this event as in any other event.
And you've been had the chance to see the rodeo change and maybe evolve over 30 years. What have been some of the changes you've observed?
Well, we used to be an extremely amateur competitive arena, and over the many years that the gay rodeo has been around, the competitors have become more experienced, and we have attracted professional riders all over the from all over the country. So competition becomes very stiff as we have grown in the rodeo arena.
Tommy explained some of the difficulties that he experienced in the early days of the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo in Colorado.
Well, one difference back then was we experienced quite a few protests against not only rodeo, but the gay issue. And over the past 34 years, this is Rocky Mountain Regional Rodeo 34, so the acceptance of the orientation has become a lot easier. So we don't have the protests that we used to, and so we can enjoy our own lifestyles among our own friends.
So really, people would come with signs, or?
Absolutely, absolutely. We would have to cross, sometimes we'd have to drive through picketed areas, you know, saying, you know, against gay and rodeo both.
Despite the prejudice and protests, the family that this rodeo provides to contestants and organizers keeps Tommy coming back year after year.
Not only is it a very social event where you go and compete with friends, I mean, we actually compete against friends. And so there's an element of competition with almost your family, so to speak. And excitement remains whether you're competing against a stranger who's come in from out of town or someone that, you know, lives in town here.
So you look forward to the rodeo every year?
Absolutely. Can't wait for it. Yeah. Can't wait for it. And we're looking forward to going to Las Vegas, Nevada in October for World Gay Rodeo Finals in Las Vegas.
You're listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and today we're hearing voices from the 34th annual Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo, put on by the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds. We started the show with the Rodeo Grand Marshal and by talking to a vendor at the show, both of whom have been involved with the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo since the 1980s. Stick around for the second half of the show, where we'll be talking with Rodeo Royalty. Earlier in the show, we heard from the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo Grand Marshal and a vendor at the rodeo who is also a longtime attendee and participant. But any gay rodeo isn't complete without rodeo royalty. I spoke with the 2014 Miss Colorado Gay Rodeo Association, or Miss CGRA, Pauline Chavez, who also went on to win the International Gay Rodeo Association title, Miss IGRA. We spoke in the stands on that day over the announcer's voice on the loudspeaker about how the rodeo is like a family to her.
The family is incredible. They take care of you. They're friendly. It's like a big giant integrated family that everybody loves, and you can belong. And if you need help with a horse or you need water or, you know, talk to the people in the stands, it's all like, right, oh my God, or get some hay or anything. Anybody will help. It's awesome.
Each regional gay rodeo has a Mr. and Miss competition, and Royalty competes for the international title at the yearly International Gay Rodeo. Pauline described what competing was like for her.
You know, when you do a pageant, you have tuxedos and gowns. Well, we do Western wear. That's our gowns and our tuxedos, okay? So we do that, and we have the hats, and we have everything, you know, donated and stuff. Or you have a sponsor, and you compete. And you have judges, and I beat out 3 women, and it was amazing. It was like, oh God, just say my name, and we're in the back. They don't put you on stage. You're in the back and you're going, are they gonna say my name? They're gonna say my name. And then all of a sudden they went, Pauline Chavez, and I went, they said your name, and I went, oh my God. I walked out there and I'm like, it was amazing. I got to represent the International Association, which is Canada, the United States, and Mexico.
Pauline acknowledged that many people don't think of rodeo when they think of the LGBTQ community.
It's almost like a hidden LGBT thing. But when we come out, they go, oh yeah, I heard about the rodeo. Oh yeah, it's cool. But they don't associate the queens. They don't associate the crowns. They don't associate the sash with the rodeo. They just think, oh, it's horsemanship. That's it.
Crowns and sashes aside, Pauline explained that the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association is the oldest of the more than 21 gay rodeo associations in North America. And LGBTQ contestants have a different experience here than they would at other rodeos.
A lot of people that, you know, all the guys that were in amateur rodeo, and a lot of people go to, you know, the amateur association, the straight so-called, and sometimes they're treated different, but they still compete, and they're okay. But sometimes you want to come in here, like they say, let your hair down and not be afraid to hold hands with your other half. Or kiss your other half. You can't do that in a regular rodeo because it's not allowed. But you can be yourself, and you have your friends here, you have your companion here, you have your family. So a lot of guys are like, look at the kids here. You can bring your kids, you can bring your mom, you can bring your dad, you can have, it's awesome.
As we were talking, the current Miss CGRA joined our conversation, Yolanda D. Herrera from Brighton, Colorado, who has been coming to the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo for many years.
Been coming to this rodeo for probably, 15 years now?
Yeah.
As Pauline and Yolanda explain, one big difference between a gay rodeo and other rodeo competitions is that women can participate in competitions that are traditionally reserved for men only.
In a straight rodeo, girls are only allowed to do barrels, okay? We let girls do bulls. We let girls do steer riding, steer deco. We let them do team roping. Girls aren't allowed to do that in a straight rodeo. They're only allowed barrels.
So this is a big difference between other rodeos in that there might be more of a specific, male-only competitions. But here, women and men are able to participate in the same thing.
If a girl wants to ride a bull, like a big old Brahma bull, we say, go for it. And we let them.
It's all on them if they fall off.
When I asked Yolanda why she's excited to be Miss CGRA this year, she focused on giving back to the community. Holding back tears, she explains that she's raising money for cancer treatment because she lost her nephew to cancer 8 years ago. This is one important responsibility for Gay Rodeo Royalty, as they get to choose which charities are supported for the year.
On that current reigning year, for whoever's the reigning current title holders, they get to choose whatever they want.
And it's not,
unless it's a charity.
You don't just raise money for CGRA. I did RAP, Rape Awareness Assistance Program. I raised money for that. They're not a part of the Rodeo Association, but they came out and it was like, oh my God. And we open it up. We don't say, you can only raise money for this. No, we do it for breast cancer. We do it for CAP, Colorado AIDS Project. We do it for Horizon House. We did it for the center, for the kids, Rainbow Alley, for the kids. We raised money for everybody.
This year's rodeo in particular saw an added importance for the Latino and queer communities after the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando. Pauline and Yolanda shared how things have been different at the rodeo this year as a result of this.
We're all sticking closer together, and we're just more supporting of each other at every turn.
I've seen that, but I've also heard, is there going to be security there? Are we going to be safe? And I'm like, yeah, we'll make sure.
So people concerned about safety.
Well, look what happened at Pulse, and look what happened in Dallas. You know, I know it's not the same thing, but still, it was a gay bar, okay? And we're a gay organization, even though there's straight people here. Are you going to have security there? Yes, we're going to have armed guards there. Are you sure? Yes. We made sure when people walked in here that they are secure, they are safe, and they can have fun. That's what we made sure.
Despite concerns about safety, Yolanda made it clear that she's staying involved with the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association because the country western lifestyle is a part of her identity.
I just think it's part of my culture, being a Colorado native. It's part of me, and it was kind of inbred in me when I was born here, and I don't want to see it go ever away. I mean, I love wearing the boots, I love wearing the hats, I love wearing just the western wear in general.
Yolanda pointed out that she sometimes gets looks of surprise from people within the queer community when they find out that she does rodeo. But she takes this in stride.
They get a little bit shocked when I say, yes, I've done rodeo and I do gut dressing and stirred echo. And they're like, you ride a horse too? And I'm like, of course I ride a horse. You kind of have to ride a horse to be able to get to where I'm at. So if you got to know something about the western lifestyle, whether it be riding horses, barrel racing, something to do with the rodeo, to get you to where you need to go and make sure you're going in the right directions.
After talking with Chris, Yolanda, and Pauline earlier in the day, it was clear that putting on the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo was a community effort, and many local LGBTQ nonprofits helped to staff and support the event. I spoke with a member of one of these organizations who was helping to bartend that day, dressed in a sequined dress with neon green hair and eyelashes.
My name is Zoe Didham, and I am Queen Mother 10 and 12 of the Denver Cycle Sluts from here in Denver, Colorado.
Zoe is a member of Denver's longest-running Camp Drag Performance Ensemble, which has raised money as a nonprofit for charitable causes since 1979.
Yes, but I am not that old. I am still 29 years old.
She mentioned some of her reasons for coming to the rodeo each year.
The camaraderie, the men, the drinking, the camaraderie, the drinking, the men.
Rinse, repeat.
Pretty much.
Zoe went on to describe the efforts that her organization has made to give back to the community. Over the years, they've supported youth experiencing homelessness, hospices, and most recently, LGBTQ people in rural communities.
There's one specific group that we've been helping for the last couple of years that is our charity of the month, once a year, and they're called Man Reach, and it is for rural education and community help. But it helps them so that they don't fall into alcoholism, drug abuse, unsafe practices, that they have a community, even though they're the farmers and the ranchers and in their small towns. And so for that, I think that that's one of the good parts about kind of the rodeo is that it also brings those people together in a healthier atmosphere.
Beyond the positive atmosphere that the rodeo provides, Zoe finished by saying how important it is that local nonprofits serving LGBTQ communities continue the work that they're doing.
Because there's a lot of people still in need, and that never goes away. So we do have homeless children. We have LGBTQ youth that are kicked out of their homes, that are struggling. We have people who go into bars and kill people. We have fights from hatred. It's all stemming from hatred and fear. We have health issues. AIDS has not gone away. We have no cure for it. We may have medications that help prevent it or help kind of get rid of prolong life, but it's not gone. And there's a lot of outreach that still happens and still needs to happen to help those who are coming into the community.
After spending a day at the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo, I was beginning to get a much fuller picture of what exactly a gay rodeo is, and the vital role that this event plays in the LGBTQ community. As the last day of this year's rodeo was coming to a close, I spoke with one final rodeo attendee sitting in the audience about what the event meant to him.
Maxwell Henke, and I'm a hairstylist. I live in Denver.
So what brings you to the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo today?
You know, I've always really been into rodeos, and I used to come as a kid, and I really like to spectate. I really enjoy seeing horses run around. I'm really excited. I'm here with my boyfriend.
And is this your first gay rodeo that you've attended, or have you attended other rodeos?
I've attended other rodeos, and I've attended the Colorado Gay Rodeo before. My grandfather used to bring me when I was a child. It was a lot of fun. Right when I first came out, I was probably like 14, and we had a great time together.
So what's different about a gay rodeo in your mind, from your perspective, having attended both rodeos and gay rodeos?
Probably the sense of community. You know, the people seem a lot more together and happy, and you know, loving what they do with no oppression. It's really nice. Sometimes, you know, you feel uncomfortable holding hands and something like that at a traditional straight rodeo, and here I feel like I can hug and kiss and love my boyfriend freely.
And perhaps it's this space that Max describes, diverse and inclusive, that makes the Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo such a long-lasting and important tradition in Colorado's LGBTQ history. That whether you're sharing an experience with a grandparent, wanting to be your authentic self with your partner, or competing in rodeo competitions that are traditionally only for men, the gay rodeo and the community it provides has room enough for all of that, and more. Listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and we've been revisiting this year's 34th annual Rocky Mountain Regional Gay Rodeo, which took place this past July at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Golden. For more information about the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association, which hosts the Regional Gay Rodeo in Colorado each year, go online to kgnu.org/outsources. Once there, you can also listen to the recording of this interview. And we'd love to hear from you if you have comments about tonight's show. Email us at outsources@kgnu.org. Set them wild, set them wild, set them free. You're listening to Outsources on KGNU, which is presented by the 13th annual Boulder Pride Fest, celebrating the LGBTQ community throughout all of Boulder County. The event is Saturday, September 11th, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Boulder's Central Park on the corner of Broadway and Canyon. All people are welcome at the event, with performers and activities for all ages. Leading up to the Pride Fest, there will be a week's worth of Pride-related events. For more information, call out Boulder County at 303-499-5777 or visit outboulder.org. And join us next week, Monday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of Outsources. Outsources members Janice and Glenda will talk with Lauren Lubin, former CU basketball player and now the producer and star of We Exist Beyond the Binary, a film exploring life outside the gender binary. The film challenges traditional constructs that see gender as either male or female, exploring instead the vast range of gender identities that are available if we look beyond the either-or. We'll talk with Lauren about their personal story, the film, and their work in the international We Exist movement. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. right here on KGNU. Or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. I'm Sean Kenny, and you've been listening to Outsources, KGNU, Boulder, Denver.